You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, the only home for daily podcast commentary on your Houston Rockets, the winningest team in the NBA. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official flagship. It's the second of five consecutive off days for the Rockets, second straight off day entirely. They will be back to practice on Friday, so we'll start to hear a little bit more from the Rockets themselves about the Warriors matchup. But as far as most of us are concerned, we've talked about this and look forward to it all year. We're all just waiting for Monday night and Game 1 to get here so that we can finally get underway with the big showdown in the Western Conference Finals, the 65-win top-seeded Rockets with the second-seeded Warriors, who are probably the most talented team in the history of the NBA. So much excitement, and still feels a ways away, but a five straight off days, we're almost through two of them, so we are making progress slowly but surely. Game 1 will be here before you know it. So to preview what's going to happen, not just in Game 1, but throughout the entire series, I've got a guest today that I think y'all are really going to enjoy. I've had him before, but it's Matt Bullard, a.k.a. Rockets television play-by-play analyst on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest broadcast. Unfortunately, we have not heard that much from Matt recently because with the NBA's rules, after the first round of the playoffs, broadcasts are national only. So Bull and Craig Ackerman, who are the call guys for Rockets road games during the regular season, and then Bull and Bill Worrell and Clyde Drexler, who call the home games generally for AT&T Sportsnet Southwest. Unfortunately, we have not gotten to hear them the past couple rounds and their perspective. And truth be told, as good as the national guys are, they don't have the same level of expertise as someone that has watched this team every day for 6+ months. So I wanted to get Bull's insight, especially going into this series, given that it's one of historical significance for the Rockets and really the league as a whole, but certainly here in Houston. And I do know he is intently watching it, just like the rest of us. If you guys remember the Astros run in the World Series, you often saw Todd Kallas, Jeff Blum, Julian Morales, their announcing crew around Minute Maid Park in the World Series. Well, the same is true for the AT&T crew now that it's the basketball playoffs. I saw Bull and Bill Worrell sitting together in Game 5. They're fans just like the rest of us. They are looking forward to this series the same way that we are. And with Bull's playing experience and his experience watching them for the past 6 months, I can think of no better guy to break down what it is the Rockets need to do to compete and ultimately win this series by beating the vaunted Warriors 4 times within a 7-game span. I just wrapped up my conversation with Bull, so stick with me here at Locked On Rockets, and I'll play it back for you right now. Matt, how's it going, my friend?
It's going great. We got the Western Conference Finals that everybody's been waiting for. So, it's the best time of the year to be watching Rockets basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw you at Game 5. Of course, you're not on the calls anymore because no local broadcast after Round 1. But I know you, Bill, everybody else associated with this team is, of course, pulling for them because you've been involved with that team. Well, for you, it's not just as a broadcaster, as a player as well. So I know over the course of your many years with the Rockets, you've seen a lot of great playoff performances going all the way back to Hakeem in the 90s, the championship years. But I would imagine that what Chris Paul did the other night, 41-10, zero turnovers in a closeout game to put his team in the Western Conference Finals, I would think that's got to go up there on the Mount Rushmore of all-time individual Rockets playoff performances. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, absolutely. And, in that Game 5, as Bill Worrell and I and Calvin Murphy were all up in the booth watching the game with, we were with no duty, just kind of like as fans, we were looking at each other with, a little bit, funny, what's wrong with Harden? He doesn't look like himself. He's moving a little slow. And we found out that James was sick under the weather in that game. And the interesting thing now with this current Rockets team is it's not just all James Harden, in that Game 5, with James really not playing his best, all of a sudden Chris Paul realizes, hey, look, I'm needed here. And Chris was 0-for-2 from the three-point line after the first quarter. And then from second quarter on, he made 8 straight 3s. And Chris just took over the game. He made the right plays. The fact that he had 10 assists and 0 turnovers, that's just an amazing stat line for someone in a playoff game. And so it was great that the Rockets had another Hall of Fame superstar to be able to take over the game and win down the stretch. It's one of the things that the Rockets didn't have last year is another main guy like Chris Paul to take over the games when James wasn't getting it done. And it's also great news for Chris. You know, Chris is he's never been to the Western Conference Finals, and he's been on a team that was up 3-1 that lost a series. So Chris had some, you know, he had some demons to exercise. You know, out of his basketball career, and he was able to do that in that one game and move his team to the Western Conference Finals.
How important of it was the Rockets, their ability to kind of bounce back from adversity? Because you lost the game 2 at home. I'm sure everyone would have liked to have had a sweep, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Utah, obviously, one of the best defensive teams in the league. And so you had to go to Salt Lake City, win not one, but both of those. And then even in a closeout game 5, you mentioned Harden not being himself. He was under the weather. And then you're down 6 late in the third quarter. You know, I'm not going to say that the Jazz are the same thing as the Warriors, because they're not. But at the same time, for a team that, you know, made it look easy for so often this season, winning 65 games out of 82, at the same time, you know, it just feels like you're kind of seeing that winning DNA that some folks refer to, that, you know, you never know what a team is made of until they face adversity. And I thought the way they responded to it in that Utah series was pretty positive.
Absolutely. And that, you know, that winning championship DNA that you're talking about, it's not something that there's really a formula for. You can't, you know, look in the book and say, here's the kind of guys we need to plug into our team. It's a constant search for NBA teams or any teams in general to find the right mix of guys, to find the right chemistry, to find the right role players to put with the superstars. And that's one of the things that I've noticed this year with this Rockets team is the way they carry themselves. Their chemistry amongst each other is top-notch. You know, maybe the best chemistry that I've seen on a team in a long time. And it's very impressive. You know, I get to be around them in the hotels and on the airport, you know, in the airplanes and stuff like that. And so I get to see it all, you know, behind the scenes. And it's very impressive the way these guys are all connected with each other. But like you said, you have to be able to do it on the floor, too. And the way the Rockets have played this year, getting 20-point leads in so many games and just blowing teams out, that you know, I was a little worried that the Rockets hadn't really been tested in the regular season the way they need to be tested in order to play a great series against Golden State. And like you said, Utah Jazz are a very good team, and they were, you know, they were hurt. They didn't have Ricky Rubio and but anyway, the Rockets were able to beat them in a gentleman's sweep 4-1. And even though the Rockets weren't playing their best basketball there in round 2, they still had that championship caliber chemistry that they can rely on. James knows that Chris has his back. And P.J. Tucker knows that Luke Bamute's got his back. And those types of things are very important as you get challenged. And Golden State for sure is going to challenge the Rockets like they haven't been challenged all season long.
One of the things that you mentioned earlier was James Harden, his down game 5, which part of it they said was under the weather. He also was not at his best in game 4 when he was 8 of 22, 8 turnovers. But Matt, one of the things, I think back a few years ago to the series against the Clippers in the second round, and they played DeAndre Jordan back then, Rudy Gobert this year. But when they went from that Clippers series to the Warriors series, no disrespect to the Warriors, who are an incredible defensive team, but they don't really have that presence at the rim the same way that the Clippers did back then with DeAndre or the Jazz do now with Gobert. And what I was struck by was when James flipped the calendar, the Western Conference Finals, I'm sure you remember those first 2 games in Oakland, he played out of his mind. And it was ridiculous how much easier it looked for him when you didn't have that giant presence, that 7-foot guy who can pretty much contest anything. Are you expecting, not for it necessarily to be easier for him, but for James to be able to take advantage of the Warriors in a way that maybe he couldn't against the Jazz?
Yeah, easier is not the right word. Different is the right word. Mm-hmm. The Golden State Warriors are going to play defense differently than the Utah Jazz did. And that's one of the things that Mike D'Antoni has been talking about all season long, is no matter how the other team plays us, we have an answer for what they're doing. And Utah Jazz presented their own interesting question, because they had Rudy Gobert, one of the best rim protectors in the league, if not the best, protecting the rim. And so that meant that James couldn't get all the way to the rim. And Chris Paul didn't even try to get all the way to the rim, because Rudy Gobert is such a good shot blocker. And you noticed that Chris Paul was able to knock down a ton of mid-range shots in that series against Utah, because that's what Utah Jazz were giving up. They were guarding the three-point line very tightly, and they were relying on Rudy Gobert to guard the rim. And so, therefore, Chris Paul was able to take his masterful mid-range game and get points on the board. And I'm expecting Golden State to be totally different defensively. I don't think they don't have a rim protector like Rudy Gobert. JaVale McGee is the one guy on the roster that has that kind of length, but they don't really play him in the similar way that the Rockets play Clint Capella or the Jazz play Rudy Gobert. But all that being said, Golden State does have the number one ranked defensive rating here in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. In the playoffs, the Golden State Warriors are giving up 99 points per 100 possessions. That's the best in the league. The Houston Rockets are number two in defensive rating in the playoffs, 102 points per 100 possessions. So this next series against Golden State is going to feature the two best defensive teams in the playoffs right now. And both the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors play defense in similar ways in that they play lineups that can switch everything. You know, we know the Golden State Warriors have Draymond Green as their guy that kind of is able to switch everything and play the centers and also the point guards. Well, the Rockets have that as well. They've got the Tuck Wagon lineup where they play small and play P.J. Tucker at the center. But the Rockets can also play that switching defense with Clint Capella, because not only is Capella a great rim protector, but he's also probably their best perimeter defender in that he can switch onto a guard. And he keeps the guard in front of him. He's able to move his feet, use his length. He's very hard to drive around because he's such an excellent defender. So that makes the Rockets' defense very, very good as well. So as we're looking at how the Rockets are going to attack the Golden State Warriors' defense, maybe just practicing against their own defense might be the best practice.
Good take. Matt, I'm curious what you see as the variables in this matchup, because we can all say, and it's obvious, that James Harden and Chris Paul, they have to play well. You're not going to beat the defending champions, a group that's made it to the NBA Finals three consecutive years and went 12-0 through the playoffs last year, without your stars playing well. That goes without saying. But who are, it may not necessarily be the players, it could be, you know, a certain style of play. What are the swing elements for the Rockets that they need to do well in this series that's going to determine whether they can win 4 out of 7?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind is Eric Gordon is going to have to play like Eric Gordon did all season long. And Eric's kind of been a little up and down these last months, and he's one guy that's really going to have to be playing well. He's going to have to get his 18 or 20 points every single night. He's going to have to be the guy coming in off the bench to provide the scoring punch with the second unit. And so Eric Gordon is one guy that I'm looking at. That's, you know, you mentioned James and Chris are going to have to play great. But so is Eric Gordon. He's going to have to play like a superstar if the Rockets are going to get past the Golden State Warriors. And then the second thing I look at is all the Rockets' perimeter players. You know, the Rockets' offense is different than the Golden State Warriors' offense. The Warriors use a lot of movement, a lot of body movement, a lot of ball movement, a lot of passes to try to break the defense down. The Rockets do it in a totally different way, where they just put the ball in James's hands or Chris's hands and let them come off a pick and roll and make, you know, a simple read. And then hit shooters. And so the shooters for the Rockets, Trevor Lees is going to have to shoot a good percentage. P.J. Tucker is going to have to shoot a good percentage. And P.J. has been doing that, too. P.J. has been really, really good shooting the three ball. Luke Bamute is going to have to shoot a high percentage. And that's one, you know, Luke is coming back from that right shoulder dislocation. And in the second round, Luke looked very good defensively. But to me, it looked like that shoulder was still hurting him a little bit when he was trying to shoot or trying to finish at the rim. So let's hope that these few extra days in between the two rounds will help Luke get a little bit more healthy so that his three-point shot will go in. And so I think, you know, the Rockets' three-point shooters are going to have to shoot a high percentage, and Eric Gordon is going to have to be the best Eric Gordon that we've seen.
I'm right there with you on Luke, by the way. I thought the first three games of the series, he looked a little tentative. I think maybe one of the better things for him, he took that shot from Drebko in Game 4 in Utah. He actually, to me, looked a little more assertive after that. We saw him driving to the rim more in Game 5 than I thought he did maybe the entire rest of the series combined. So fingers crossed, hopefully between that and the five-day-plus layoff, that he's able to be in better shape for Round 3 than he was for Round 2. The other guy that I want to ask you about, Matt, was Clint Capella. You touched on him earlier. But this is where I think you, as a guy who follows this team every day, has a unique perspective compared to, you know, the TNT guys. They're just going to come in and do Rockets games once every month or so. Because early this year, I don't think the Rockets thought that they could trust Capella fully in this Warriors matchup. You go back to the season opener in October. Capella played just 18 minutes, and he did the majority of his damage in the fourth quarter after Draymond Green left early with an injury. But as the season moved along, you know, one of the themes that I'm sure you've noticed is that Capella's gone from being a bit player to a guy who's legitimately part of their big three, right alongside Chris Paul and James Harden, to where in the two games in January, he's playing 30 minutes a night against the Warriors, and you mentioned his ability to switch. How far has he come? Because even at the start of this year, I don't think D'Antoni really felt like he could trust him against that Hampton Fives, what they're calling it now, that Warriors death lineup with all the perimeter playmaking. Whereas now, it feels to me like the Rockets are going to sink or swim with Clint Capella. He's going to be out there 30 minutes a night, barring foul trouble, no matter what. Is that how you're seeing it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you bring up a good point where Mike D'Antoni had to build his trust in Clint throughout the regular season. And you know, to start the season, I'm sure Mike was looking at Clint as like, well, this is going to be our starter, but you know, we're going to split time with him and then they and but Clint has improved so much over the last 4 years, but also over this season. He's really become the premier NBA prototypical new type center, in that he guards the rim, he gets rebounds, he runs the floor, he outruns his opponents all the time, gets lobs over the top on the offensive end, and so Clint has really improved, and he's probably not going to get the most improved player of the year this year. That's probably going to go to Victor Oladipo in Indiana, and Oladipo definitely deserves it, but Clint Capella deserves it as well. I think Clint's improvement this season is leaps and bounds. Obviously, Mike D'Antoni trusts him a lot more now after an 82-game season, seeing what he's done. And Clint on the defensive end, he's got three straight games now where he has at least four block shots and two steals. The last NBA player to have three straight playoff games with four blocks and two steals is Ben Wallace back in 2003.
Wow.
Clint leads the playoffs in rebounds. He leads the playoffs in block shots. He leads the playoffs in field goal percentage, 63.6%. So his improvement is noticeable just by the eye test. It's also noticeable by the numbers, and it's also noticeable by how much Mike D'Antoni trusts him and keeps him on the floor, and really has become a big part of the big three, like you mentioned. And another big key for the Rockets in this series is that Clint's going to have a really good series defensively and stay out of foul trouble.
Absolutely. I'm also a little curious about the minutes behind him. There's been a lot of questions asked around the Rockets Twitter community about the backup 5 minutes. Nene got most of those against Utah. Some have speculated that maybe Ryan Anderson, the more he gets back into rhythm, Ryan having the ability to shoot from deep is a better weapon against the Warriors because of how they can space the floor. The other interesting thing that I look at, Matt, the final 150 of the first half in Game 5 against Utah, the Rockets closed on an 11-3 run, and that was the Tuck Wagon lineup. We haven't seen it happen too much in the playoffs with P.J. Tucker at the 5, but between Luke Bamute getting more healthy, because if you play P.J. at the 5, obviously that means there's more minutes at the forward spots you've got to fill from somewhere. Maybe Luke and Gerald Green are able to do that. We saw Gerald kind of regain his spot in the rotation as the Utah series moved along. But what are you thinking as far as the minutes at the 5 that are not Clint Capella? Is it Ryan Anderson or Nene, or is it a matter of you bring back that Tuck Wagon lineup that, for what I recall in the regular season, did work fairly effectively against Golden State? Just for whatever reason, we haven't really seen it employed that often in the playoffs yet.
Yeah, and I'm gonna just mention that the Daryl Morey deserves a little hat tip because he's built a roster that is flexible.
Yep.
It's variable, and it's also very deep. And so now Mike D'Antoni has got coaching decisions that not every coach gets to make. You know, Mike can look down at his bench and he can pick the right skill set to put into the game depending on what the game is calling for. Not every coach has that luxury. A lot of times coaches look down and say, well, here's my next guy on the depth chart. I got to put him in whether he fits the game or not. But Mike can put in, if Clint Capella comes out of the game, he can put Ryan Anderson in at the 5 because Ryan Anderson's gravity on the offensive end create space for James and Chris. And Ryan is an excellent three-point shooter, and he might get some time in this series because what the Golden State Warriors, the way they play offense, if Ryan Anderson gets switched off onto one of the smaller guards, they're not going to just isolate him. The Golden State Warriors don't play a lot of ISO basketball, so you can get Ryan on the floor, and his defense is not going to hurt you as much as it would in a different series. That being said, Nene is a guy who's a powerful player. He may not have a good matchup in this series. He may not get much time in this series because there isn't another big banging type player on the Golden State Warriors roster, or like you said, the tuck wagon lineup. And that's kind of like, you know, the Rockets have been chasing Golden State Warriors now for a few years, and Daryl Morey has made it very clear that the Warriors are the gold standard. That's who we're trying to beat. And so he's built this roster now that the Rockets can put out the tuck wagon lineup to go against the Hampton Five lineup. And that kind of negates the advantage that Steve Kerr is using when he puts out his small lineup. So it's very interesting to see how when you've got a gold standard team like the Golden State Warriors and everybody else is trying to catch them, sometimes you have to imitate them a little bit so that you can take away their advantage.
On the phone for just a couple more minutes with Matt Bullard, current Rockets TV analyst, former player back in the 90s, long NBA career, so you've got a lot of personal experience you can draw on. I want to discuss physically the Stephen Curry factor, because I think certainly in a broad sense, we know how the Rockets want to attack the Warriors. The Rockets, they've been one of the slowest paced teams in the NBA, despite what some of the TNT guys might tell you, since about February 1st. And in general, the Rockets want to make this a slower game. If the game is out in transition, that probably favors the Warriors, who, with Stephen Curry back, are just lethal, as good of a team as the NBA has ever seen in terms of transition offense. So we know the Rockets want to play slower. What I expect them to do within the half-court set is really look on these switches to attack Stephen Curry whenever possible. It's something they did against Golden State already a decent bit in the regular season. I think back to that last January game, the third and final matchup in which the Rockets won by 8 at Toyota Center Saturday in late January, won the season series 2-1. And that was before Stephen Curry suffered the MCL injury. The last time I spoke to you for Locked On Rockets, it was right after Curry suffered the injury. And of course, you've suffered MCL injuries yourself. We discussed that. But offensively, the numbers are probably going to be there for Steph. In terms of his shooting, I think he's going to be able to shoot the three like you would expect him to, one of the elite shooters in the history of the game. But defensively, discuss the challenges that when you have an MCL injury of moving laterally. And do you agree with me that that's going to be something the Rockets look to exploit in this series, and what I assume are a lot of half-court isolation-heavy sets?
Yeah, for sure. I think for sure the Rockets are going to look to isolate against Steph Curry because, and you mentioned the MCL injury, the MCL is the ligament on the inside of your knee. So there's actually four major ligaments in your knee. The MCL is on the inside. The ACL is inside your joint. But the thing about the MCL injury is it's kind of like your connection from your quad down to your foot. You know, your knee, everything has to be sort of connected. And when one of those ligaments is injured, you don't really have 100% connection with that leg. And so the lateral movements really are what becomes slower or at times painful to move because of that MCL injury. And so I'm for sure the Rockets are going to try to isolate Steph Curry. When he's on James Harden or Chris Paul, they're going to try to give those guys some space to let him go one-on-one. For sure, Golden State's going to try to limit the amount of times he gets switched on to someone who's going to take him one-on-one. They're going to try to hide him on the defensive end. But in a seven-game series, when you have teams with great coaches like we do in this series, then all those little things are going to be magnified. And so, you know, Steph Curry has been shooting the ball just fine since he's come back from that injury. But the defensive end is really where I think the Rockets are going to test him. And the other thing about that MCL injury is it's not 100% healed. If he tweaks it again, you know, he could be out. So it's not something that you can just power your way through. It's a very tender, it's a very fragile injury. And so we're going to definitely have to keep an eye on, you know, how Steph Curry is moving. How much the Rockets are able to tax him on the defensive end. And it's going to be a very interesting series. It's all the different matchups and all the different adjustments between the two great coaches. And to me, I think this Western Conference Finals, I'm going to be honest, this is the NBA Finals for probably most people that watch NBA basketball.
Yeah, and the other thing that applies not just to Steph, but to the Warriors as a whole, I get questions every day about how can the Rockets compete in this series. And my first response is, look, even before Golden State's injuries in the regular season, the Warriors and Rockets are basically 1A and 1B. The Rockets beat them 2 out of 3 times. And in the playoffs, both are 8-2. They've each had the two gentlemen sweeps in round 1 and round 2. And yet there's this skepticism because, of course, everybody knows 2 years ago, the Warriors won NBA record 73 games. Then they added Kevin Durant, and I would agree, they're probably the most talented team on paper that the league has ever seen. That said, one thing that applies not just to Curry, but really up and down the roster, there is sort of a cumulative toll, and I know you've seen this being a part of Rockets teams that won two straight titles. I know you weren't with them in 95-96, the year after that, but when you go through three straight years of going to the NBA Finals the way they did, and of course we saw this with the Bulls in the 90s as well, talk about the cumulative fatigue, because again, the Warriors will never use it as an excuse, but I think for folks wondering what's different about the Warriors, the team that went 12-0 through the playoffs a year ago in the Western Conference and the one that's already lost two games this year, it's nothing against them, but the Rockets as a team that has not been that deep into the playoffs the last 3 years, they might be a little fresher than the Warriors are, and so that's why, as great as the Warriors look on paper, that's my theory on maybe why the results have not been as great as you would think, say, just saying, oh, it's a 73-win team that added Kevin Durant. But I'm just curious, your playing experience, what that fatigue is like when you've been through not just regular seasons, but it's almost like adding an extra season to it by the time you go through four playoff series.
Yeah, it really is. You know, an 82-game regular season is a marathon, and after that last game, every single player in the league is like, oh, man, I made it. I'm exhausted. But every team that makes the playoffs, now you're saying, okay, now we got a whole other season coming up, and these games we're going to be playing in the playoffs aren't like regular season games. Every single possession in a playoff game is played at 100%. So the games that are played in the playoffs are much more intense games, and the farther you go into the playoffs, the more intense those games are, and the better your competition is. So the Golden State Warriors, having made the finals for three straight years, is an amazing accomplishment, because they've gone through a whole regular season, then they've gone through all the way to the final playoff season, and they did it again. And so your summer of rest gets shortened, because you're playing all the way into June, and then you got to come back in October for training camp. And not only is it body fatigue, but it's also a mental fatigue, because these playoff games are very we mentioned that the coaches are going to be able to make a lot of adjustments, but that's relying on the players being able to mentally handle getting the adjustments in the game plan, then going out there on the floor and executing those adjustments, executing them correctly, executing them at 100% effort. And it takes a lot of mental effort to be able to go through a seven-game series and all the different adjustments and the other teams trying to take away your strengths and forcing you to your weaknesses. And so it's a really hard thing to do mentally to get all the way through that. So you need the summer times to rest mentally as well. And now that the Warriors have done it year after year after year, they are certainly more physically fatigued than the Rockets are. They're certainly more mentally fatigued than the Rockets are over the last 4 years. But on the other side of the coin, they're a lot more experienced than the Rockets are. So yep. The Warriors realize they know what it takes to play in the finals. They know what finals games feel like. They know what finals games are like physically and mentally. And so they're able to play at that higher level, maybe with a little bit less energy than a player like Chris Paul, who's never been there. Chris is going to be super amped up. His adrenaline is going to be flowing. It's going to be pouring out of him. He's going to have to learn to regulate that adrenaline and use it to make his performance better. But the more times you do that, the more experience you have, the easier it is to play in those high-intensity type situations. And the Golden State Warriors, they've got a team full of guys that have been doing it for four straight years now.
Matt, last question for you. Do you have a prediction yet? And if not, what are the games that you're looking at? Is it game one? Is it game three? Just quickly give us an overview of how you look at this series and what the Rockets need to do to win it.
Yep, so the Rockets are in the driver's seat having home court advantage. And that's important in these, when all else is equal and pretty much the offense isn't here in the playoffs, both the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors are highly rated offensive teams. In the regular season, they were almost identical in their offensive ratings. And so they're going to be very tightly matched teams. And so every single game is going to be critical, and winning games on your home court is going to be very, very important. The home court advantage, to me, is going to be the advantage if the series makes it all the way to Game 7. Then that means Game 7 will be in Toyota Center on the Rockets' home court. And that's a big advantage in a series. But like we mentioned a little while ago, is that the Warriors have that experience advantage. And so the home court is not going to be as big of an advantage against Golden State Warriors, because the Warriors, you know, they have the experience. They're not going to be, you know, quite as flustered on the Rockets' home court in a Game 7. So if the series makes it to Game 7, the Rockets have a little bit of advantage with the home court, but that's assuming that the Rockets don't give up home court advantage in the first two games. So the Rockets, the first two games, have got to get off to good starts. They really need to win those first two games, because if the Rockets were to lose one of the first two games, then they lose the home court advantage. So I really don't have a prediction for the series. I don't know who's going to win. You know, a lot of times you can look at a series and say, well, yeah, this team's better than that team. But this series here, both teams are excellent offensive teams. Both teams are excellent defensive teams. It's going to be a series that, for sure, you got to watch every single game. You got to watch every single minute. It's going to be must-see.
Absolutely, right there with you. Folks, he's Matt Bullard. Follow him on Twitter, @Bull50, and of course, all next season, the AT&T Sportsnet Southwest broadcast. Matt, thanks so much for the time, buddy.
Always great, man. Thanks.
Sure thing. Again, that's Matt Bullard, current TV analyst for the Rockets broadcast, both home and away throughout the season. Not on the calls now, because they're national broadcast only, but he will be at Toyota Center cheering on the team, just like I'm sure many of you will be. So I think that's a pretty good overview of this series, fairly balanced. Hopefully y'all learned something, and I believe we can wrap it there because, well, I don't want to spoil it yet, still working on the logistics, but we've got some pretty good guests lined up for the days ahead as well. We do have a long layoff until Monday's Game 1, but the good news is that, well, that gives us a lot of time to discuss what we think is going to happen, so I thought Matt was a good way to kind of kick off our Rockets-Warriors preview, and we'll work on lining up some more guests in the days ahead. Anyway, for now, I will break it. Once again, he's Matt Bullard. If you're not already following him on Twitter, and if you're not, I don't know why you're on Twitter in the first place, and a Rockets fan, because he's one of the biggest there is, but he's @Bull50. I'm Ben Dubose on Twitter, @BenDubose, and the show, Locked on Rockets, is at Twitter, simply @LockedOnRockets. Besides Twitter, other ways to interact in the days before this series and read our content, listen to our shows, website, LockedOnRockets.com, Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, and also an email, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Questions for the show, suggestions for me, questions about the team, inquiries about how to become a potential advertiser. Our numbers are great these days because everybody wants to hear about the Houston Rockets, the most winningest team in the entire NBA to this point. So if you want to get in on the action, be it learning more about the team or us potentially helping your business while you help us as well, then certainly LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. That's the best place to reach out to me and inquire. We do have some great specials in the playoffs. And besides just us here at Locked On Rockets, of course, we've got a show over at Locked On Warriors. We've got shows across the NBA playoffs, also the NFL. Their draft just wraps up, and we're building into the MLB market as well. Not quite with the Astros yet, but we are making progress. So really, any show you want to watch, not just the NBA, or listen to, I should say, not just the NBA, but the NFL, even some baseball as well. The Locked On Podcast Network has you covered in an era where so much coverage tends to be going national. That's what I spoke about leading off the show, with Bull not on the air anymore because TNT seems to be taking over the airwaves. Then it can be hard to get local analysis. Well, that's what the Locked On Podcast Network is made for. We have local experts across every NBA and NFL franchise, and working on expanding across MLB as well. Once again, this is Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. I'm Ben Dubose, your host. Follow me on Twitter, @BenDubose, the show, @LockedOnRockets. If you haven't already subscribed to us, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Megaphone, just search for Locked On Rockets. Leave us a 5-star review, subscribe. That's how we're able to have the correct audience figures to keep running and remain financially viable as the only daily podcast covering the Rockets. One final time, thanks to Matt Bullard for joining us. Thanks to all of you guys for listening, and we'll be talking again very soon. Rockets back at practice Friday, and so after that, we'll have even more preview talk as the Rockets get ready for their showdown in the Western Conference Finals with the Golden State Warriors, the defending champs, beginning Monday night in Game 1 from Toyota Center in Houston. Hope to see a few of y'all then. For now, enjoy the start to your weekend, and we'll be talking again very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.